Today, we'd like to see the title, Boldness, in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 15 to 39. To ordinary words of people, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 17, then he asks, their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. What does it mean? Question two, in verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, how do we have a boldness to enter the holiest? Last question in verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. What a kind of sin is stated in this context. Writer is anonymous, but like a disciple Paul, because chapter 10, verse 34 said, me in my chains, which is prisoner. So also, verse 38, the just shall live by faith. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, 17, disciple Paul said, the just shall live by faith. Therefore, the author of Hebrews looks like a disciple Paul. Audience is Jewish Christian. Jewish Christians means the Jews who have believed Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Last time, chapter 10, verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So one offering, which means Jesus' death on the cross, just one offering. He has perfected forever. So Jesus' one offering is perfected. There is nothing you can do to add to what God has already done for your redemption or salvation. If you add something else, you would essentially contempt or reject the perfectness of Christ's death, resurrection, and the work of the Spirit. In light of John chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus said, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. In bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. So it is finished, which meaning it is complete, it is over. Nothing else is needed. Verse 15, but the Holy Spirit also witnessed to us. So all born-again Christian has indwelling Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit lives in every born-again Christian. So the Holy Spirit by himself is a witness to every born-again Christian. For after he had said before, verses 16 and 17 are paraphrased with Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33 and 34 in the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah 31, verse 33 and 34. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write in on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity or their sins, and I will remember no more. So here is, this is the covenant that I will make with them, the covenant, new covenant, or second covenant, through the Lord Jesus Christ. All the covenant, the first covenant, the God wrote on the stone, on the Ten Commandments. But new covenant, right on heart, intangible things, heart and mind, soul. In their minds, I will write to them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. So question one, what does it mean? Which meaning, God will never remember to judge against the past sins and the lawless deeds already forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. So it does not mean it is no recorder of history. So recorder is there. For example, David committed adultery, recorder is there, but David's sin was forgiven by his repentance. So this meaning, God will never remember to judge against the past sins already forgiven. So once perfect. Then verse 18, now where there is a remission of these, remission of these sins, there is no longer an offering for sins. Because of Jesus' sacrifice is once for all and perfected, your sin forgiven by Jesus' blood and your righteousness for his resurrection. Therefore, brethren, here brethren, first direct audience are Jewish Christians. Jewish Christians, most of them, came from Judaism in the practice of Old Testament to New Testament Christian, Jewish Christian, or Hebrew Christian. Brethren, Hebrew Christians, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The holiest, which means the most holy place behind the red veil and the sanctuary in the temple of God. By the blood of Jesus, by the death of Jesus, that is shed blood and broken body. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 and 51. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded of his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked and the rocks were split. So because of Jesus' death on the cross, the veil was torn off from top and bottom. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, so not only enter the holiest, holiest which meaning the holy place, so in the Old Testament time, the presence of God is there on the top of Ark of Covenant. So the top called as mercy seat. That's why the high priest was only one time per year allowed to enter the holiest or the holy of holies beyond the veil. Verse 20, by a new living way, not old way, new living way. Not only can we enter the holiest, but we can enter the holiest boldly. So we don't need animal sacrifice anymore, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, the veil that is his body, because Jesus was broken body on the cross with shed blood. And having a high priest, that is Jesus Christ. So having a high priest over the house of God. Here, the house of God means the group of born-again Christians or a church. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18. For first of all, when you come together as a church, so disciple typically indicated you, Corinthian Christians as a church, excluding the location, building, everything. The people, born-again Christians, are church, the house of God. The building is just instrument to meet, you know, born-again Christians. So outside. So here, the house of God is a people. the group of born-again Christians. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." Jesus is there. So wherever two or three, they meet together in Jesus' name, Jesus is there. That's the house of God. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21 and 22, in whom the whole building, here building is a people's building, whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also, Ephesian Christians, also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit, not in the earth, in the mud, in the Spirit. So we are the house of God. So Jesus Christ over the house of God, or Jesus is the head of a church, of a people. Let us draw near with true heart, in full assurance of faith. So don't waver faith. Keep faith without doubts or questions. The just lives by faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Evil conscience far from God. Or after Adam's eating the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and our bodies washed with the pure water. The sin unto death is washed by the word of the gospel for salvation. 1 John chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death. So what are sins leading to death? That sin, number one, unbelief of Jesus Christ as a Savior and the Lord. Number two, blasphemy against the Spirit. That is two sins that are leading to death. He will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is a sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. So here, Apostle John, all unrighteousness is a sin, which meaning whatever God doesn't want, considered as a sin. If you're angry, that considered as a sin because God doesn't want you angry. So that is a sin too, because that's the fruit of spirit. If you want division, argument, that is unrighteousness is a sin too. God doesn't want argument thing there. So here, our bodies are washed with pure water, which meaning pure water by the word of the gospel for salvation. And verse 23, let us hold fast or firmly the confession of our hope, or the profession of our hope. So what kind of hope here? Our hope to see the Lord who is returning. So that is verse 25. As you see the day approaching, which means Jesus Christ will be coming again soon. So because we have hope to see the Lord. So our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Jesus made a promise. Jesus will return soon. So let us consider one another in order to stir up or provoke love and good works. So provoke or encourage, exhort love and good works each other. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see, the day approaching. So which means encourage to meet together, so rather than discourage meeting, as you see the day approaching. the day when the Lord comes again. Verse 26, this is a question too, for if we sin, what kind of sin? In this context, willfully, that is, we can see here, verse 29, in detail, explaining. So 29 said, over how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of a covenant, blood of the new covenant, by which he was sanctified, a common thing or an unholy thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. So apostasy of Jewish Christians. So a person who commits apostasy, apostasy which means betrayer. So a betrayer called as apostate. Here is a sin willfully, which means commission of apostasy. So Jewish Christian tempted to reject Christ for Judaism, animal sacrifice practice in the Old Testament. So they want to keep again legal relationship from loving relationship with the Lord. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 to 6 also mentioned that, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, commit apostasy, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him, or put Jesus Christ, to an open shame. So willfully here, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. So Jesus' death is enough, sufficient, perfected. So we don't need any other sacrifice no longer for sins. So not animal sacrifice needed because of Jesus' perfect, complete sacrifice. Once a sacrifice for all people is perfected, complete. Book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Only one sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, is sufficient. So then verse 27, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversary. So this is against apostate. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. This is according to Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 5 and 6, then you shall bring out to your gates that man or woman who has committed that wicked thing and shall stone to death, that man or woman with stones. Whoever is deserving of death shall be put to death on the testimony of two or three witnesses. He shall not be put to death on the testimony of one witness. According to the Old Testament, two or three witness requirement. One witness is not enough. At least two witnesses. So then, verse 29, over how much worse or how much serious punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled? Here, description of apostate, trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of a covenant by which he was sanctified, a common thing, unholy thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. Rhetorical question. So absolutely yes. So apostate was subjected to worse punishments, worse than the death penalty by stone. For we know him, we know the Lord, who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So judgment belongs to God, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. Here, his people is we are in loving relationship with the Lord. So we will receive a reward rather than is a judgment into hell or into there's the eternal the fall. The First John chapter 4, verse 18 said, there is no fear because we are in loving relationship. Here, fear is a flesh fear, not holy fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love. Cast out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 up to 15. So born a Christian will receive rewards in his judgment. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, will receive rewards. But wood, hay, straw will not receive rewards, although he is saved. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare the day when Jesus returns, because it will be revealed by fire. So it will be tested by fire. The fire will test each one's work during your physical life on the earth of what sort it is. If anyone work which he has built on it endures, keep patience, he will receive a reward, verse salvation. If anyone work is burned, he will suffer loss, no reward, but he himself will be saved, only salvation, yet so as through fire. So we see all Christians, so we will born again Christian will receive rewards plus salvation, or no rewards plus salvation. But in legal relationship with the Lord in the Old Testament, so unbelievers, verse 31, it is a fearful thing. 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So Judaism in legal relationship with the Lord, which means keeping God's law by human doing, not the spirit doing through me, by human being. That is subject to fearful thing, which is subject to judgment, eternal judgment. Because human nature has the simple nature. So therefore, we could not do by ourselves to keep God's word. But recall the former days in which after you were eliminated, which meaning after you believed Jesus first time, you endured a great struggle with suffering. So you endured a lot of hardship, partly while you were made a spectacle or a gazing star or a silly sight or a ridicule sight, spectacle by Judaists or non-Christians, both by reproaches and tribulation. So early Christians, the Jewish Christians, suffered a lot of reproaches and tribulation. Also, they become spectacle, silly sight, ridiculing sight. And partly while you became companions of those who are so treated, so close friends with those treated so. Some people experience similar or same thing as you do. So those people become your companions. So for because you had compassion on me in my chains, here probably on me in my chain on prisoner. Even today, a lot of Iranian or Muslim Christians are still prisoner. Only reason because of their faith in Jesus. So because of that, they are praying exactly like that. On me in my chains. This is likely is disciple Paul. So disciple Paul is Ephesians, also disciple Paul sent a letter from prison. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 said, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles." Also, Philippians, disciple Paul sent a letter from prison. Colossians, Philemon, 2 Timothy. So all in letters sent by disciple Paul who was in prison or who was in his chains or in his bonds. That's why the book of Hebrews author most likely disciple Paul, you know, like that. So then joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. The plundering, which means supporting over your good, or your good are stolen by somebody, but here accepted joyfully. Why? Knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for your service in heaven. So things on the earth are gone away or perished anyhow, but unperished, enduring rewards in heaven. Because of that, so they accept joyfully somebody stole my goods on the earth, you know, because they're waiting for the hope to receive the reverse enduring thing in heaven. So that is talk about that. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Confidence meaning or faith. Do not cast away your faith, which has great reward. So live by your confidence or live by your faith. So that for you have a need of endurance or a need of patience. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, various tests, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So, therefore, you when you receive a test trials, you should be joyful. So, keep, you know, patience. So, then is you may receive the promise, receive the substance of things hoped for. Because of faith definition, Hebrews chapter 11, and verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's a faith. So you will receive the substance of things hoped for. So then in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, sometimes we feel hard to keep patience. This is maybe encouraging word. The Lord is not slack or slowness or lazy concerning his promise, as some count slackness, or some count laziness, slowness, but is long-suffering. The Lord is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Because God's heart to save as many possible people. So all people, God wants to save it, all people. That's why God is waiting. So not, you know, slowness or not lazy, because our God is long-suffering. Then 37, 38, also 37, 38 verses were paraphrased with Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 in the Holy Spirit, because the Bible inspired by the Holy Spirit. Here, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie, though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So here, verse 27, 38, for yet a little while, and the Lord who is coming will come and will not tarry, or will not, you know, stay. Now the just, the righteous man shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back from the faith in Jesus, or willfully sins, or willfully turns his back from Jesus, or denies Jesus, my soul has no pleasure in him, which means God will punish them into eternal death. Verse 39, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, which means we all in Christians not belong to those who draw back from the faith in Jesus. Not, you know, we are not belong to apostates. Rather than of those who believe, belonging to the saving of the soul. So, therefore, no condemnation in Christ. Even in rapidly deteriorating world, deteriorating United States, too. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 said, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So let's see each question answered quickly. In verse 17, then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. What does it mean? It means God will never remember the sin already forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. Question 2, in verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, how do we have boldness to enter the holiness? How? Because by faith, the Lord Jesus Christ's death sufficient to tear down the veil. So, in the name of Jesus Christ, we can talk with God the Father anytime, anywhere. You know, not only enter the holiness or to talk with God the Father, also boldly. So in verse 26, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a second for sin. What a kind of a sin is stated in this context, particularly verse 29, where it is said, this sin, apostasy or apostate. Okay, let's just sing song all together. The bulletin, last song, page 8, number 3.